The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
From Spirituality and Health magazine, I'm Rabbi Rami, and this is Essential Conversations. Our guest today, Ken Honda, is one of Japan's leading self-development gurus. His books have sold more than 7 million copies since 2001, and his newest book, Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money, is really essential reading for anyone who has any issue, positive or negative, or any interest in, curiosity about money. And I imagine that's most of us. So Ken Honda, welcome to Essential Conversations.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Rami. I'm so excited to be on your show.
Well, we're very grateful to have you. So our listeners know you're actually calling in out from outside Tokyo. You have a retreat that starts in less than an hour now.
So, yes, I'm so excited.
I'm glad. I mean, you know, to do this kind of work is both a blessing, but also there's a lot of responsibility. So it's good that you can keep your energy up. So, you know, you begin in the introduction to Happy Money with the assertion there's two kinds of money, happy money and unhappy money. Mm-hmm. And this notion is central to the book. So understanding what unhappy and happy money are is a good place to start the conversation. So define those for us.
There are two kinds of money, happy money and unhappy money. Happy money gives you a smile when you receive it. And when you spend it, it gives you joy. Whereas unhappy money gives you frustration when you receive it, and also despair, irritation, and anger when you spend it. And unfortunately, most of us are living in the flow of unhappy money because we are so frustrated when we get a check, and we get upset when we have to pay the bills.
Yeah, well, that the latter I understand, having to pay the bills. Why do you think people are upset when they actually receive money?
Because they feel like they deserve more. I think it's very common among all of us in an industrialist country that we feel like somebody is taking advantage of us and we're not treated fairly or equally. So we feel upset somehow that what we're getting is not enough to pay all the bills, or at least to pay for what we want.
You ever run into people who feel... I mean, sometimes, let me personalize it. Sometimes I get paid for something, and I don't say this to the person who's paying me because I need the money, but sometimes I say to myself, I would do this for free. You know?
Yes.
What a blessing.
That's happy money.
That's happy money. Oh, okay.
Yes, because you feel so blessed when you receive it, because you feel like they chose you to pay for the money.
Ah, I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, it doesn't really matter how much you make or how much you spend, and it's just how you feel toward money.
Well, that's interesting because you write in the book that, I mean, when I started reading the book, I thought happy money was lots of money.
Yes.
And unhappy money was a dearth of money, scarcity of money. You cite the study that says that money does increase one's happiness up to about $75,000 US a year.
Right.
Now, that's probably in different places. In some places in the United States, you can't live on $75,000. Where I live, that's almost twice the median income for a family of four, and people can live on that somewhat decently. So not taking the number 75,000 as our truth point, that this is the amount we got to have, You take a different approach to it. And I'm just quoting from the book. You write, it's not how much you make or have that you have happy money or unhappy money. It's the energy with which your money is given and received. Talk about money as energy.
It's so easy to understand when we are living in the flow of happy money. That means that you appreciate your work or you appreciate what you do. And so in return, people appreciate and they pay you. That's happy money. And when you spend the money, you feel very appreciated. You feel like, oh, thank you for doing this for me. And you pay for that. And that's a very happy attitude. And if you have that attitude, you feel more appreciation toward life. So probably you're more likely to have happy relationships, happy family, happy friends, happy clients. And you're surrounded by great people. Whereas when you're frustrated with what you make, what you do, also that will give you frustration when you have to spend the money. So when you take a look at your life, it's either happy energy that you're feeling every day or frustrated energy you have in your life.
So are you familiar with the book, Your Money or Your Life?
Yes. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah, it's a very, very good book. They talk about money as energy, that to get money, I'm actually trading my life energy for money. And I could see how if the energy I'm trading for money is depleting me, then I end up with unhappy money. But if the energy, just the way you preparing for the workshop you're about to give, you're excited, you said. Mm-hmm. So the energy that you're expending in exchange for money, the money is happy, but the energy is happy. Yes. If I understand their book right, though, and it's been a while since I've read it, a lot of what they say is we're wasting life energy in pursuit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And do you agree with that? How does that fit into the happy money philosophy?
It fits in beautifully because what we do, we spend our life force energy. So either we do with happiness or we do it with irritation or frustration. I have a friend who loves toilet cleaning, and he ended up doing it professionally. But if he loves it so much, when we go on a trip, he doesn't come out of the bathroom and ask him, "What did you do? Sorry, you know, I couldn't help clean the toilet." You know, even while he's in vacation, he loves to clean the toilet. He ended up writing a book, and it became a national bestseller. And he ended up teaching internationally. So you know. If you do what you love, your energy gets lifted up. And I'm sure there are many toilet cleaners who are depressed. So it doesn't really matter what you do. What it matters is how you do it.
So the friend you're talking about, is he also Japanese?
Yes.
So this, and I'm going to make a gross generalization here, and you can correct me.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of what you're talking about sounds like Marie Kondo.
Yes, the same concept.
And you know, I spent 10 years in the Rinzai Zen world, and there it's all about chopping wood and carrying water, the everyday things. That's where the passion is. That's where the joy is. And I'm wondering if there's something that you think is uniquely Japanese. I got the sense that you wouldn't have written this book if you didn't come out of that culture.
I think that's why it's subtitled The Japanese Way of Living, you know, with money in a peaceful way, because it's just how you live your life. You know, even if you do the same thing, what I'm suggesting is somewhat Zen way, you know, do with gratitude. And I think it can translate into Western culture as well. It's a universal concept, but that anybody understands.
Yeah, I mean, the sense of gratitude. Yet, you know, when you're talking about Buddhism, the Buddhism that, I mean, you mentioned Shinto in the book, but the Buddhism that seems to come through the book as I was reading it is Pure Land Buddhism, Shinshu Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, the work of Yoshimoto Isshin. So that's a little in the weeds for my listeners. But
wow.
The creation of what he called Nikon therapy, inner seeing therapy. You familiar with that?
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, the whole idea is to realize that you've been gifted all your life by everybody to such an extent that you cannot repay. And so every gift you receive, and you, when you go through the training, by the time it's over, you realize that you're being graced constantly by other people's energy, other people's concern, other people's gifts, not just financial. But that seems to me the mindset that you're promoting.
Yes, you said it so beautifully. But when I said it in a very Zen Japanese way, it's hard to practice. So I just turned it into a very simple idea. Arigato in, arigato out. When you receive money, you say arigato or thank you. When the money leaves you, also arigato. So if you just keep practicing that simple act of appreciation, your life will be shifted greatly.
Yeah, right. And I think that's catching on. I mean, that I shouldn't say catching on. It's been part of Western United States culture for a long time. But even as simply and as cogently as you put it, it's still hard to practice.
Yes. So you have to imagine what it would be like to live in the flow of happy money, because it's going to be such a different world. But it doesn't cost anything to do that. You just say thank you when the money comes in and thank you when the money leaves you. And if you just try for fun, you feel very different.
So tell me about try it for fun, just to experiment.
Yeah. So next time when you receive a check or money, just say thank you, to the money. And you can kiss the money, kiss the check.
Yeah.
You can kiss your credit card. You hold it in your heart, and then just almost like a joke. Thank you, money. As if money or credit card is a person. And if you let go of money, just say thank you, and come back with your friends next time. fun attitude. Yeah. If you make it fun. You just find a shift in you when you write a check for taxes and bills. You find it very differently because you have to pay the bills anyway. Do it with gratitude or do it with
right. Arigato in, arigato out. That makes a lot of sense. I don't think I want to kiss my money; it's way too dirty. but bowing, and making that gaucho of thanks, that makes sense to me. I will have to try that. My rabbi years ago, 25 plus years ago, he gave me a dollar that he said put over the door of your house and it will attract, more dollars to you. I don't know if that worked, but then even more closely to your arigato in, arigato out, he suggested that you should have a bell. He had a little Tibetan bell that hung off the visor in his car. And every time he hit a bump, the bell would ring and he would say, thanks God. That's how he put it. Mm. And he said it was training him, sort of Pavlovian. It was training him so that every time the bell rang, he would say thank you. And I said, well, why? And he said, because one of these times it's going to be an accident. The bell will ring. And rather than respond negatively, I'll be trained so that even in that moment of danger, I will respond arigato. I will respond, with gratitude, with thanks. And, I put one in my car, in my kid's car, in my wife's car. I tried to put one in my sister's car, but my brother-in-law called it the death bell and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. But you're looking for ways, it sounds to me, in Happy Money to practice this gratitude without making it a burden.
Yes.
So what's the response been to the book?
When I first writing books almost 20 years ago, I had huge response. Like I never thought it that way. I'll give it a try. And for the past 20 years, I've helped so many hundreds of thousands of people find peace. And also they became financially independent. This thing works not only peaceful mind, but also when you appreciate money, it appreciates. So I'm getting the same great response in English speaking world. So I'm curious how people are going to get results. It's been a month since the book came out, and then I'm getting a lot of interesting emails about how my book shifted their lives, and then they're getting a raise, or they got the higher income, they got new clients by appreciating them. So I'm seeing the same interesting impact in English, in Western world.
So we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you a question about that. As I read the book, it seemed to me that even if I got no raise, it's not really asking it. There's Nichiren Shoshu where you're in a sense praying to Buddha to give you stuff. And that's a drastic simplification of that tradition. But you're praying for a car, you're praying for a job, you're praying for a raise. In the way you presented this and the Buddhism that comes through, at least as I read the book, you're not actually asking for anything. You're simply being grateful for whatever comes across. And so what I loved about the book was, so you don't make any more money. It isn't going to, it matters to the point where you have to pay your bills, et cetera, but it's not about think and grow rich. That it's not your book. Your book is be grateful regardless of the amount of money that's coming in. And that will allow you to actually live in a radically different way. To me, the way is so radical, the way of gratitude, that the money is almost inconsequential. Am I gone too far?
No, you read it so beautifully. Thank you, Rabbi Rami. You said it so clearly too. Your gratitude toward life, you know, opens doors to new opportunities, new way of life, which is, I said it again, whatever you appreciate, appreciates. So if you appreciate money, that appreciates. And also if you appreciate other people in your life, they appreciate you back. So you're just shifting the view of the world by starting to say thank you to money.
And almost, it seems like the more gratitude I have, the less fear I have around the amount of money I have.
Yes, exactly. So if you start appreciating money, you feel less fear, because my mentor once said, your mind cannot focus two things at one time. If you focus on gratitude, you cannot worry about money. So if you keep focusing on appreciation, you forget how to worry about money.
Oh, nice. You forget how to worry about money. Oh, that is brilliant, beautiful, and a perfect place to bring the conversation to a close. Our guest today, Ken Honda, is the author of Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. You can learn more about Ken's work at kenhonda.com. So I know, Ken, we'll have to let you go. You've got a retreat starting in less than 30 minutes. But thank you so much for talking with us on Essential Conversations.
Thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure. And I bless everybody who's listening to this. And have a beautiful life.
Domo arigato.
Domo arigato. Thank you.
Essential Conversations with Rabbi Rami is the bi-weekly podcast of Spirituality and Health magazine. If you like the show, I urge you to check out my new podcast, Conversations on the Edge, brought to you by the One River Foundation. Conversations on the Edge features a variety of iconoclasts, apostates, and freethinkers who are trying to change the world for the better. Also, please be sure to rate and review this podcast in iTunes or your preferred podcast platform. Essential Conversations is produced by Ezra Baker, and our executive producer is Ben Nussbaum. I'm Rabbi Rami. Thanks for listening.
We spend a third of our lives sleeping and dreaming, yet most of us have no idea what goes on during that time. I'm Kelly Sullivan Walden, and as a dream expert and best-selling author, I'm here to empower you to mine the gold from your nighttime dreams. Join me on the Kelly Sullivan Walden Show, part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network, available wherever you get your podcasts. Until we meet again, don't take your dreams lying down.